You're listening to WPPMLP Philadelphia People Powered Media. I'm Tim Marshall, and you are tuned to the R&B Showcase Radio Show, giving you the best in classic to contemporary R&B, Motown, pop, soul, jazz, and blues, coming at you from the heart and soul of Philadelphia on 106.5 FM. Hi, I'm Tim Marshall. Welcome to R&B Showcase. We got a great show for you today. We're going to have a party. But first of all, we want to introduce our co-host in the building, the one and only Mr. Julian Seward from 106.5 FM in Philadelphia. Julian.
Pleasure to be here, man.
Tell us about your show, Julian.
My show is My Bittersweet Philosophy. It comes on 3 to 5 on 106.5, and it's a little piece of my mind set to a playlist.
All right. That's my turntable brother right there. Also, my co-host for the radio show and for the television show, Mr. Kevin White. He knows all the facts, the figures, the dates, the times, and the places. He's a music historian, Mr. Kevin White.
Thank you so much, Tim. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And we're excited about having this act in. They're in the studio. They're in the building. Yes, they're coming off a great performance in Philadelphia. On today's show, they are special guests, the R&B, funk, and soulful club recording artist with more than close to five decades of Billboard chart hits and recordings. And they've been performing for many years with us, but we're glad to have them here on the show. And they're also from Brooklyn, New York. Golden Mike Award-winning recording artists. We're going to welcome to the show Dolores, Bonnie, and Denise, the Ladies of Sky. Welcome to the show. Where's the Sky Zoos? Get them Sky Zoos out.
That's right.
That's Kyle Mack. That's Kyle Mack over there with the Sky Zoos. Oh, there they go. There they go. I hear you.
Yes.
And I did want to mention that Kyle Mack is with us here today. He is in the background there. He's producing the show here today. But Kyle is from the number one radio station in Philadelphia. He does production for that station. So give Kyle a round of applause. He's not on mic or camera today.
Kyle, but he's here.
All right. Thank you very much. But I'm excited about having the ladies here today. And of course, their manager, Austin, is in the building. And thank you for being here. And they got some guests here with us. We got standing room only here for the legendary Ladies of Sky in the studio. Give them a round of applause one more time. Yeah. Welcome the ladies to the show.
Shout out to James. Yes. Shout out to Sunny. Shout out to Ophelia.
Yes. We thank you all for being here. We really appreciate you. We're going to have a good time. We're just going to have a conversation. Eating that guy, too, and the chicken and everything else.
The rooster.
That's right. We're just going to have a party here today. And ladies, you know, thank you for being here. I want to let you introduce yourself so they can see who you are and put the beautiful voices with the beautiful faces that are in the building here today. So,
all right. Well, we always start with the one that came first, right?
All right.
I'm Denise, and I am the oldest of the Dunning sisters.
I am Dolores, and I am the middle sister.
And I'm Bonnie. I am the youngest sister, but I am the oldest sister.
That is correct.
So you figured that one out.
That's right. That's right. That is totally correct.
I hear you.
Because I'm the baby.
Well, welcome, ladies. It is a pleasure having you here in the studio. It's been a long time coming. You did a performance in Philadelphia, right?
Yes, we did.
That was great.
At the Free Library.
Mm, yes, yes.
It was really nice. You know what I think I loved the most, it was like really being in touch with the people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, you know what I mean? That was the beautiful part about that. And people were having a good old time.
Yeah. And we hadn't been here. Well, we came in Philly years ago as Sky. And we were just so excited when we got the call to come in, you know, and perform for you guys. It was so that it was electric in that room last night. It really was.
And the DJ got things rolling. The people up in the aisles dancing.
Oh, yeah.
So they were ready. By the time y'all came, they were good and ready for you. You know,
pumped.
Had them pumped up and ready, standing up and just throwing their hands up in the air and feeling that funk like Kevin White, the funk doctor over there. You know? He loves that funk. You know,
I'm with him.
I played a soul on the air, and Kevin's like, "No, gotta get some funk in there, right?"
He's
playing that funk, and he loves Sky too. So he said, "You got to have them in here in the studio." So we got you here today, ladies. And again, thank you for being here. And why don't you tell us a little bit about how who inspired you to sing? You have these beautiful voices, this great harmony. How did this all come about? You know,
we always take it all the way back to going to school.
Okay.
We were very involved. We were at a high school in Brooklyn called FDR High School, and we were all members of chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So since junior high school, we've always been involved in singing music. And FDR in particular used to have a lot of talent shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we would always perform in the talent show. There were four of us then. We would dial a Ray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of the start of it for us. And then when we graduated and we were doing things on our own, that's how we met Randy Muller, right?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. But it, and one good point, it was that our mom and dad were big on music. And it was them those Saturdays that we toured day.
Cleaning Saturday?
Cleaning Saturday.
Yes. Yeah.
That they would get up, and my dad would get up and put those 33s on that Magnavox hi-fi. Hi-fi.
The hi-fi. Yes, it was called hi-fi.
And, you know, they would sing. They would like to sing, and we would sing, and we'd get in the mirror and sing. And so I think we actually came from just singing naturally. You know,
right.
Yeah, and an interesting point. My aunt, our Aunt Sadie, actually was very involved, and we didn't understand this at the time because we were really young, but she was very involved in the black opera culture of that time period. She she knew a gentleman whose daughter, he was the in charge of most of the publishing. He held the publishing for a lot of the spirituals. And who knew that there was such a deep black presence in opera?
I didn't know that.
Yes, and I have Miss Adelaide. Miss Adelaide was actually, I saw her when she was when I was like 5 years old. I thought it was I was at Carnegie Hall,
right.
But apparently I was at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. But anyway, that's where I got my first introduction as a child to performing on stage. And Miss Adelaide was her father was very deeply involved and owned a lot of the publishing for a lot of the Negro spirituals.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So my aunt was already kind of in that culture, and she's the one that got me my first M&E organ. And you know, I'm saying we were taking it way back.
Right.
We've had it inherently in our family and through genetics by our parents' love for music. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had beautiful voices too.
Yeah, they did.
My mother would stand in the ironing board and she would sing. Oh my goodness, it was, I'd be just like mesmerized.
Now, were you inspired by many of the girl groups that were coming up, you know, prior to your?
Well, of course. I mean, Dolores was Diana Ross at one point.
Tell me,
you throw your hands up in front of the other ladies like Diana Ross.
Yes, we have a picture somewhere, right? When mommy
my mother made our long gowns. You know, back when we were in junior high school, off the shoulder.
That's the thing. Our dress was inspired by the female groups, but not our harmonies and our choreography.
Okay, tell us about it.
We were inspired by the male groups.
I can see that with the choreography you do. Very Temptation, like precision movement type choreography.
The Temptations, the OJs, the Four Stops,
the Delphonics, those were the guys.
All of those guys, those 60 groups, is what really inspired us. That's when we stopped wearing dresses.
Yeah, because we were in gowns all the time.
We used to be coming up.
We would have, my mother always made these beautiful gowns for us. And once we decided that we wanted to move.
Right. We didn't want to just, you can't move in a dress. I mean, you can, but it wasn't like we're moving.
You're not going to be able to see it.
Exactly, because with a dress on, it would kind of cover up.
Exactly. The movement.
So you came up with your own choreography. Who does the steps? Is it one person in the group, or do you all come up with it?
It's a conglomeration, but Bonnie kind of usually, you know, starts it off. And then, interestingly, in the late 80s, we started going to Alvin Ailey. Solomon thought it was smart for us to take body conditioning classes, right?
Pilates.
And then we took Pilates. But we also took jazz classes. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of choreographies that worked with us. T. Ross. Right? Okay. Douglas Frazier. Mm-hmm. We had a guy named Shake.
That's when we got started.
Yes, we got into the
90s. We had some of the more of the 90s, you know, moves. But oddly enough, they would look at what steps we had and would keep some of the steps that we had and just add, you know,
add the little flair, you know, nice flares to, you know, to what we were doing.
It was natural,
you know,
to you, right?
Now
you mentioned Solomon Roberts Jr. Tell us about who he is for the people that may not know
Oh, wow. Solomon Roberts is the head cloud. So Solomon was the guy who was lurking around as a photographer, posing as a photographer when we did the Miss Black America New York State pageant. And that's where we met Randy Muller initially. So we initially started working with Brass Construction as an opening act for Brass Construction. And then when they got their record deal, Randy says, well, hey, I want to, you know, I'm going to turn you guys over to Solomon. Solomon has a band. Solomon has a band. All we ever seen this guy do is taking pictures, you know?
And that's carrying drums.
Carrying drums,
right,
exactly.
Because he used to roadie.
Too. So Solomon Roberts ultimately wound up becoming the founding member, along with us, of Sky. What ultimately became Sky. So it was Solomon Roberts, Gerald Lebone, and Butch Sierra were the three core male members of, you know, of the founding members of the band, and then us three.
It was Solomon's basement that was kind of like the epicenter for all the
Construction. Yeah, hole in the ground, hole in the wall.
Hole in the ground, watch your head. Well,
Solomon lived
in East New York. Get electrified by the microphones, because nothing was grounded.
It was a crazy town. It was a place to be.
Yeah. But it was a place where a lot of good music. There was like the base for the writing, for rehearsals. And how nice, when I think back, his parents, his father is a pastor. And they were so accommodating to us, you know, being down there in that basement. And we really appreciated that. But we also got a lot of little kids in the neighborhood, you know, would spend a lot of time sitting down checking us out.
Test things out on them.
We send them to the store. For that. So
that's what makes sense. Okay, I see what you're saying.
We needed a runner.
But anyway, one of them grew up to be quite a Solomon's cousin. Is now herself a very prolific artist, and her name is Anaya Day.
Yeah,
she is an amazing voice.
We used to call her Jiffy. I was like, what? Jiffy's doing this? Yeah. She always had a magnificent voice, but she is an artist, an independent artist in her own right. So you know, if that was in, I hope we had some influence on her in terms of, you know, direction she took in music.
Yeah. And you mentioned Randy Muller.
Yes.
Everything he did with BT Express.
Yes.
Brass Construction.
Everybody.
He worked the Crown Heights Affair as well.
And Crown Heights,
that's right. He got us in the studio to do a lot of background vocals for people. We did background vocals for Charles Erlin.
Charlie Erlin, That's good music there. I knew you did that. That's awesome.
Background vocals for Mark Riddies.
Raphael Cameron. Most of the artists that Randy worked with, we wound up doing background.
Randy, I can say, really introduced us to the life of studio. You know what I'm saying? And there was never a time that there wasn't, we've even done a few like little background vocals on Brass Construction's records. There was never a time that he didn't bring us into that studio.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He utilized what he knew we had. And you know, we had to really be thankful for that, because then once we really started to go into the studio and record our own stuff, we kind of knew what to expect.
First of all, we learned to settle down, because I'll never forget the first time we went in the studio. We were so silly. Well, y'all seen that when we walked in here, right? So imagine that, times 25, and they were like, ladies, you have to settle down. Because we were used to singing choruses, but singing in a studio,
totally different.
It's a whole nother mindset. You got to go in there and you got to project you know what I'm saying? Because it's singing is one thing, but like projecting it onto a recording,
Totally different. And we wanted to know why we could not pronounce the words.
Because we came from a more classical background in school, so all the ings were pronounced at the end of every word,
T's were pronounced, the S's, and we're like,
but they didn't want that, right?
No, muddy it up, girls.
And we were like, what is
Let's get some soul in here, you know?
We were like, what is this muddy you talking about? We don't know anything about, you know. So it did take us a while to really get into not, you know, pronouncing the words. They were like, we don't like this, you know, that's not how we're used to, you know, singing.
Yeah, because when you're singing the hallelujah chorus. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know.
How dare you cut the word off. You know what I'm saying?
That's not going to work. Miss Lynn, our chorus teacher was not going to have any of that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't bob your head.
Right.
You had to sit on the edge of the seat and sing.
Well, that's good training, though, to have.
Well, I was going to say, definitely, that is, I believe, what has preserved our voices to this day. True. Because we learned how to sing in a properly, right? And I'm looking at a lot of the artists. People giving poor Alicia Keys the blues, you know, at the Super Bowl halftime performance. And I'm like, people don't understand what it takes to be a vocalist. You got an instrument, you can grab that thing, you can tune that thing, and pretty much, you know, it may have some environmental effects, may have, you know, a little bit of impact on it. But when it comes to the human voice, it's like it's an instrument like no other. And you can be tired, and I'm sure Alicia has been very busy. She wasn't just sitting around waiting for the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So they need to cut people a break.
She might have had a show the night before or something.
She
might
have had show 10 nights before.
That takes and singing out in the elements and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. That was outdoors. Right. You know? And people don't understand all these things kind of affect, you know, your delivery.
Yeah, cut
Alicia some slack. Leave my Alicia.
But that was a nice production they did, though, with that Super Bowl. It was good, you know? You figured out to have 15 minutes on stage to put all that production together and then this roller skate and the changing of the costumes and the singing and the band. I mean, it's a lot to do that.
But
it's not,
I think,
you know,
a lot of those elements are already in Usher's Vegas show.
Okay.
I've heard some, you know what I'm saying, some talk about, you know, the type of show that he presents there. So it's just a matter of, but see, when you got a team of people, because you saw how many people it took to just bring the stages out and all that stuff. Five people, it's like 100-something people have to be, you know, involved to put that thing together.
Absolutely.
Timely. Yeah.
The whole crew to put that together. So that's a good thing.
But I thought the show was really nice. I enjoyed it.
Well, you know, Dolores, I saw the Diana Ross picture. Austin was showing me the picture of Diana Ross.
One of many.
Yeah.
There's another picture of us.
It's the white picture.
I saw it the other day on my phone, and it's all of us dressed in white. And
yeah,
I think.
Wow.
Now
you got to share that with our producer, Kyle, so we get that up on the screen.
Solomon took that picture.
Kyle, you got to get that up on the screen, buddy.
Solomon took that picture. I think it was Marley's that took
that. We had another photographer named Marley.
That's when there was four of us.
Yeah. And she had a swimming.
She said four of you.
Okay.
So when we first started singing, it was
like the Shirelles.
Yeah, it was four of us that we had to go a schoolmate of ours, Deborah.
Her brothers had a band at one time too, and
she was the bass.
The lowest voice.
She was the bass.
Sounded like that sounded right about now.
Yeah,
today.
She was
okay.
Exactly. Like, wow. But so I think that's what used to really throw people off, because it was four of us and the harmonies, and she was also in chorus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the harmonies were just out of this world with the four of us, because like Denise, when she mentioned about us meeting Randy and Solomon at the Miss Black America pageant, state pageant in 1973, we auditioned with Temptations' Old Man River.
Acapella.
Just like
now, who sang that part? The Melvin part.
Deborah.
Oh, she played. Okay.
She
sang, and they were like,
They were kind of standing there with their mouths open.
Like,
Because again, it's that choral influence that helped us to be able to deliver that song.
Right.
Almost, you know, the same way that you would hear the Temptations do it, except it was girls. And that's one of the things we kind of prided ourselves.
Yes.
Once again, we so heavily influenced by male artists and how they approach, you know, their performances and stuff. So, we like that.
And a song like Old Man River would be right up you guys' street.
And that is the very reason why last night we did High Acapella. Because we want people to know that, we can really sing.
What you heard on the record is
what you really hear.
Yeah, that was fantastic. You guys just sat down and just...
The harmony.
You know what made us like repeat that? We did that in Pittsburgh when we had the show.
No, the first time we actually did it, we did it for Michael Black's Day.
For Michael Black's event. That is correct. So when we did, by the time we got around and did it in Pittsburgh, you know what we like about it? The intimacy with the audience.
Yes.
That's the point I'm just really trying to get to. When you sit down and you just start
chit chat,
how y'all doing?
Right.
We love having our audiences just see us as who we are raw. I mean, a lot of artists are up there and there's that image. The image is maintained A to Z. the image for us is just us. This is who we are, you know, and this is how we are. And so we try to let people in a little bit on, you know, on that.
And it gives us a break. Self.
Yo, yeah. I understand. But you know what was great about that part is I was watching you guys in the interplay between you. Each other and just little looks you were giving each other, like, okay, you're gonna do your thing now, right? You can do your thing
now. Well, it's kind of a freestyle thing, so.
But no, it was great. It, you know, for me sitting in the audience, I was set. Like, wow,
you look picked at, up on
I,
that.
I could see you guys like communicating with one another, and that was like really cool.
Yeah, but what I like is that like you go out and you do your meet and greets, and you get to meet the people that are coming to see you. And that was very nice. You did that, you ladies.
It was funny last night. There was a gentleman there that saw us when we were in Lagos, Nigeria.
Right.
Have we been there like three times?
Yeah,
three times. And there's not too many groups that have been there three times. When we did that, the first two times we were at the National Theater.
And then we went back as Ladies of Sky.
Right. And then we went back twice, as Ladies of Sky.
Right, exactly. It was, and for him to just like, I saw you in 82, I was like, wow.
Now, speaking of Sky, how'd you come up with the name Sky and that spelling?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. As we saw that we were about to really blow up, we're like, maybe we need to come up with, you know, a name. So we're sitting around, we got the dictionary open, we're just closing our eyes and we're
getting,
no, that's not gonna wart. No, we can't call ourselves warts. No.
And then Tommy comes up with this brilliant idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tommy came up with concept of Sky. So Saul said Sky. Saul's the one that came up with Sky. And then Saul's like, come on, let's put the extra Y in.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately we came up with the sky is ever changing. Mm-hmm. It has different elements. It's cloudy. It's sunny. Mm-hmm. It's gray. It's tempestuous. You know, all these things. And our music. Our music would reflect different kinds of moods and feelings. Mm-hmm. And then Tommy came up with the whole concept
whole
of
big
us coming from a planet called Yenzalia.
Well, that's who Tommy was.
And yes, that's right. Tommy, our drummer, who passed away in 2022. Tommy came up with... Tommy was always the space guy. That's right, the space guy. So he came up with us, this concept of us being from the planet Yenzalia. And we came down to Earth to spread love, peace, and joy through music. Because there was some kind of war. I don't know.
Something's going on.
Something went on. I have it in my archive somewhere at the house, so I'll pull that out.
Yeah. Well, I remember on those early albums, you always had that very futuristic look.
Yes, that is correct.
That was back in the funk. Everybody was in, you know, their costumes.
That was the
70s. You know, that was the 70s.
Yeah.
And the stage performances had like lightsabers.
Yes, we had lightsabers.
We had the helmets, the lightsabers.
And then we realized with the helmets.
It was hot. And our hair was messed up.
And we couldn't see because we all wore glasses.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that was pre-contact lenses.
That was pre-contact lenses.
And
so none of us could see.
And cords, right.
No cordless mics.
There's no such thing.
So now we're going to knock our blocks off, or are we going to see? So we started, that's when we took the helmets off.
Toned it down a little bit.
Because you're doing the dancing with the microphones with the cords.
That's right.
These kids today couldn't do it.
Absolutely.
That was a feat.
Absolutely.
They couldn't
do that. And stuff like that.
Well, we did pretty well with them cords last night.
Yeah, you did.
Because everybody said, the cords. I was like,
I don't care about the cords.
You know what bothers us the most? It's not having a cord. It's those tripod
microphone stands.
Pet
peeve announcement. Those tripod.
The first thing we said, we asked Austin, do they have the right kind of mic stands?
Right, the round
bodies. Because of the movement. Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Right. That's the only thing we did. The cords.
Mm-hmm. I can get around that.
We can get around the cords. It's those mic stands.
Yeah.
You were talking about the albums earlier. Every album has a sky something in a skyline. Sky. How did that come up? Is that a conscious effort to do that?
There's the last only album. One that didn't.
Right.
No, there's two because it was Inner City.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That didn't have anything to do with sky.
Inner City was the last.
And the start of a romance.
Right. Yeah, well, once we moved away from South Soul, because, you know, our first several albums were with South Soul Records.
Yeah.
And so it just made sense. Sky, Skyway, Skyport, Skyline, Skyjammer. You know what I mean? Right. It all made sense because it just impressed in the minds of the public that this is another, Sky. You know what I mean?
Right, because there's another release. Group in Europe, in England, called Sky, too.
Well, yeah, that's why in England, we were New York Sky.
Oh, really?
Sky.
Yeah. Oh,
like the Detroit Spinners. New York
Sky. Like the Spinners, Detroit Spinners, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On that note, on that whole South Soul thing, I remember, I think the first album I bought by Sky was probably your second album. That's the one that had Sky Zoo on it, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
No, ask us. We don't.
Yeah.
What, anyway. No, tell me what the cover looked like and I can tell you.
It was a light blue cover.
Yeah.
That was Skyway.
Austin has them all.
Skyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Right there. The one in the middle. Skyway. Skyway.
Yeah. But I remember pulling out the record and seeing the South Soul label and going, this is weird. Because in my mind, South Soul was always that Philly sound, disco, Latin thing, which is cool. I loved it.
Yes.
But this wasn't what I expected to hear. And I guess my question is, how did you guys get on South Soul?
Randy and Saul, you know, they recorded our entire album prior to with their own monies, right?
Okay.
And then they started shopping it around to different labels.
Right.
All the labels that they went to had one or another problem. Oh, we want the girls. We don't want the band. We want the band. Yeah. We don't want the girls. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody had their own, I guess, vision of who they wanted to bring into their next available slot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love about South Soul, because they not only signed us, but they also signed a group, Aura.
Absolutely. Starlene and Young.
So toward the end of, so they were originally best known for Joe Batan, our dude, South Soul Orchestra, Lolita Holloway,
Double Exposure, First Choice,
Carol Williams,
all their artists.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Their artists were disco artists.
Right.
But the Carey brothers, I have to give them a lot of credit for seeing how that our music could fit into their model.
Right.
And the type of music that they felt they could sell. Because if you notice, even in the Unsung, Ken said the reason why they got out of the business when hip hop came because they didn't know how to market that kind of music and they didn't know how to sell it. That wasn't their
point. Right.
Yeah, but the thing that, that made me kind of reverse think and say, well, wait a minute. So that means they must have seen something in the style of music that we were putting out there. Because we were funk.
Right.
We were cusp of disco in 79 because we had First Time Around on the first album.
That's right.
And by the time the second album came out, now we've got this very kind of different sound. We call it Brooklyn funk.
Right.
Because it's not like the funk from the other Minneapolis and everywhere else, you know?
Right.
But South Soul was perceptive enough to say, wait a minute, I think we could do something with this.
Right.
You know what I mean? In terms of marketing promotion. And when they got their distribution deal with RCA, that's what sent all of the artists on that label
Sky
to sort of the next level.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I know you mentioned Aura.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was like in that moment you could see the label taking that turn with you guys. Yep. And then.
Yes. Because we were the last two signed actually to South Soul before they demised.
Wow. Right. Like, what was it, about 85, 86, something like that?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
And so, then you guys went to a Capitol.
Yeah, we went to Capitol for one quick one. Yeah, it was a quickie.
Quick one, yeah.
And in and out. Okay.
That was inner city, I believe.
Out. And that was one of the best vocaled albums that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And just unfortunately, had great songs on it. Just unfortunately, the promotion was not as well as what we received from South Soul and RCA, but you listen to that album. There's a music on
really
that album.
Really good stuff on there.
It's really good, good music on that album. But it's like you said, they opened the door and then closed it.
Stuff, happens all the time.
You never know what's going on in the background with record labels.
Sure. Never.
If they get a change at the head,
that's right.
If a new CEO or a new anybody, any C-suite person new comes in,
that's it.
The direction of everything is changing.
Exactly. It just goes to the wayside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where were most of your recordings done? Were they done in New York City or?
Oh yeah,
in studios in New York.
Blank Tape Studios, Quadrasonic Studios, What was the little chocolate. One guy used to call us his little chocolate chips? Tony Bonanti, Charlie Bonanti.
We was his little chocolate chips.
And then we were in Ultrasound also out in Queens.
That was John Brad.
Quad is in Manhattan. Quad is very well known actually.
And we used the same engineer a lot.
Wow. John Bradley.
John Bradley. He is the one that taught us to settle ourselves.
Down. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Is that all right now?
He's mm-hmm. Ladies.
Enough
ladies.
Enough of that.
Time is money.
And he just
nice.
Knew
nice guy.
How to engineer.
Yes.
And you're still recording in studios, right? What studios? Where are you at now recording?
Oh, you know what? It's
funny. Club music you're doing.
It's the basement in Austin, in my house.
Really?
Well, we have a fantastic engineer.
Yeah.
Eli Tubo. Shout out to Eli. He was at the event last night.
He
was trying to mitigate that sound issue that was going on. Mm-hmm. But Eli has that portable.
Was that the gentleman who was on stage with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Eli can set up pretty much anywhere. But the last. Recording that we did when we did Love at First Sight.
It's in the basement.
We did that in the basement.
Very good. Yeah.
And he's like, he has that portable stuff and he can sit at that stuff and at his equipment and just do what
he's the one
do.
That helped put the whole show together in terms of.
Oh, yeah, the show that you guys heard last night.
We sat together
on Zoom
and said, okay, we'll stop
this
here.
Is
we'll
what
put
we
this
need.
Here.
Because even though we're doing a track show, we wanted to still have a
it
live
sounds good.
Feel.
Sure.
Yeah,
sounds
we wanted to
sure.
have that I mean? Live feel.
And that was Austin working that board, too. When he was up there working
Austin's,
that, wasn't he?
Austin just makes sure that
he presses the button.
You're doing your thing now.
Sound was another
press the button, Austin.
Round applause for Austin, ladies and gentlemen. Does a great job, you know, keeping that sound going for you guys. It was nonstop, it was flawless, and it was a great show,
and,
a great
and
performance.
If you think I'm gonna miss that. Two, three,
he's on
four.
It.
I heard him counting last.
Yeah.
Yep.
Behind the scenes, that's good. So, ladies, why don't you tell us the inspiration behind the song? Call me.
Oh,
give me a
goodness.
Number and a dime. Call me.
That was
anytime.
Randy.
Tell us about it. Randy is the guy that came up with that song. So, and I found this out myself on Unsung.
Okay.
I didn't know where this stuff comes from. Out of the minds of Randy Miller and Solomon Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
So Randy said that he wanted to have something, and this is a typical Randy word, something with a little more cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That's Randy's expression. So they decided that he wanted to write something that was more soap opera-ish and came up with the concept of Call Me. So we were like, Randy, really? You know, we're waving the flag for this type of behavior.
Yeah, but
we are not. But you know what? I've always, as I listen to it and I see how it's received by people, it's taken tongue-in-cheek and people just have fun with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Very few people take it as seriously. I mean, and the whole concept of, you know, your girlfriend is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my number and a dime. She just saying call me.
That's right.
She's not saying anything other than
I tell Chase.
Right about that. Isn't that something?
That's right.
I just said call me. That's it.
That's right.
She was wrong. Call me if you need.
Yeah. I didn't put anything else on that paper.
Right.
I was getting ready to say that. I said that number you wrote on a scrap of paper. How many people called that number on that scrap of paper that was in the video?
You know what? I think it was the South Soul office. So they would have been very happy if anybody would have called it. Knock your socks off. You know what I mean?
Call away.
That's funny.
Yo.
Tell us about your TV appearances, ladies. You were on Soul Train. You were on American Bandstand.
I wasn't on
American Bandstand?
No.
Soul Train.
She was busy having her.
Solid Gold?
I was busy having my daughter.
She wasn't on Solid Gold.
I didn't make it to Solid Gold.
Okay.
Oh. No. What shows were you on?
What television shows were you on?
You was on American.
You did do Soul Train, didn't you?
On American?
No, she wasn't on American.
Because
Dick Clark was the only one that realized that Dot was not one of the sisters.
Right.
And
okay.
I was watching it on TV. I'm like, oh my God, my sister.
We were on American Bandstand, Solid Gold. Merv Griffin.
Merv Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was like.
We've even done Joe Franklin's Memory Lane.
Joe Franklin.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Channel 9.
Yeah. You on that too?
Whoa. Julian is like, who?
History lesson today. I love it.
Yeah, we have been. Soap Factory. Mm-hmm. We were on all of those disco, you know, kind of shows.
But you know what? That Soul Train appearance, we were more excited to see the dancers than to personally ourselves be on the show. Mm-hmm. It was like, come on, we've been watching this thing since we were, you know, younger, right? Mm-hmm. And it was such a, you know, a iconic show. So we got there and we're like, we're looking for all the dancers that we, you know, and they were just so nice to us.
Yeah. What was it like being in that studio, though? They're so historic and legendary.
You know? I'm going to tell you, for me, I mean, going on Soul Train was the ultimate, but American Bandstand. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you why American Bandstand. Because we were little when American Bandstand. We used to sit with our mom and dad and watch American Bandstand.
Yeah, just by reason of it being
It was the blueprint for
that type of a show.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Because there was hullabaloo after that.
Yeah, sure. Right. So to sit, to actually go on American Bandstand and meet Dick Clark and say to yourself, I remember sitting in at six, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, watching American Bandstand and do the stroll at the end. And here we are, just stroll.
Oh, this my mother had them, birthed them, because I forgot about the stroll.
And to actually be on a TV show that you used to sit at a young age and watch, and never in a million years would really think that you would, you know,
ever be on that.
We did Showtime at the Apollo.
Yeah. Wow. And we did a lot of shows.
And we did the Apollo. I think we were there twice.
Or and that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Apollo.
Tell us about that experience.
If
that'd be different.
If you were a New Yorker, you want to go to Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
We did that.
You want to go to the Apollo. And you want to go to Radio City.
Wow.
I didn't do that.
And we've covered all.
And we've covered
all. Except for me.
You were there.
I was there. Yeah. No, I was there.
But those are.
I just had my daughter 10 days before that, and they got me tickets in the second row. And the drummer walked past me. He didn't even recognize me. But I've been gone that long? Like, for real?
But those are the venues when you are an artist that, you know, the Apollo, to get your picture, get placed on that hallway, you know, and it's just like we'd go into D.C. playing, well, it's nothing, which is no longer there.
Capitol Center.
Everybody wanted to go to the Cap Center.
Yeah, Cap Center.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to actually be able to have a career where you can say, I've done this, you know, it's fantastic.
Let me ask you this. How did the experience differ of hearing yourselves on the radio for the first time compared to actually seeing yourselves on TV for the first time? So those are two
The radio, I think I pulled the car over. I was driving my red and black 69 Impala, Chevy Impala, and WBLS was playing, I think, Here's to You.
Yeah.
I think it was Here's to You. Song. And I just pulled over. I'm like, people, it's me. That's me. Oh my goodness. But wait a minute. I do the same thing now. Where were we, Austin, that they were playing our music? We got in the car the other day.
107.9.
Right. Was playing.
So, okay. We just got finished doing We Don't Need No Music. We're in the car on the way home.
Right. Last night.
Out of all the Sky songs, they're playing We Don't Need No Music.
Last night, right, babe?
Last night.
So that kind of stuff is just very, I still get very excited. I can't get my phone ready fast enough to do a little, you know, Facebook Live or something. Because it's just nice to know that you're still
relevant.
People
to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying?
And you're not jaded by everything. There's some artists I feel like, you know, have been, you guys made out unscathed. You know, still gives you the ability to appreciate it and so love it as
we have put what we do in a space in our lives. Our lives are so multifaceted. Right. She's got a son, 2 granddaughters. She's got a brand new husband.
10,000.
Congratulations.
She's got a daughter, a granddaughter, and a great-grandson. I am the auntie whose purse, you know, all wonderful things spring from my purse. Okay, so we have these other lives, you know, that we are the focus of and the thing we try to work together to make sure we're successful at. And the music is the thing we love.
Right.
And when we get a chance to do it, We just do it. And if we don't get a chance to do it, we're good with that too.
Right, you know? Right.
But there's no pressure on us to gig, to tour. I mean, I understand for a lot of artists, this is their bread and butter.
Yeah. Right. So. And we're fortunate that it's not our bread and butter.
Right.
And because my mother always said, know how to type. She said, don't put your all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and always have a skill.
Mm-hmm.
So we were fortunate in that respect that even we were on the road, we'd come and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We just came out of that. You know, I tell people that all the time. You know, like Denise said, when you talk about your voice, I mean, who knows what might happen 10 years from now where you can't sing.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, do we make money from gigging? We do. We love what we do, but we don't have to depend on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. A good thing. Yeah. So is that some advice you would give the young people that are trying to get into business today?
Find something to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously, because you can't depend on just this being what you are and your livelihood.
Right.
Like my daughter has this thing. She's been in the daycare field for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's like, I'm tired of doing this. She's doing her crafts. I mean, now she's sending me embroidery stuff. We're going to be embroidering.
She's selling jewelry.
Yeah, she's
jewelry.
She wants to do something else because she was never an office kind of person. She wanted to be on a different place altogether. So young people now, if you're coming up and you think that this is going to be your whole life and you're going to sing forever and ever and ever
that's
and ever,
right.
that's not going to happen.
You're going to knock Beyonce out the box. Right. Ain't going to happen.
You know what I'm saying?
Those people have built those careers and that is dedication. That is their life.
Pay into the system.
Sleep. And you know, and breathe that music. And there's some people that have that passion and we say, more power to you, but make sure, this is my biggest thing, make sure you understand the business. Now you get a chance to be independent artists.
Yes.
We had to learn what it means to be independent artists, which means you're not assigned to a record label, right? So now every department that you have within a record label, we have within our
team. That's right.
Exactly. Sure.
That's right.
Our own marketing people, videographers, engineers, all of that stuff.
We
have those people. And, and it's a joy for us because we
like
love bringing on people who know what they're doing.
That's
we do what we do, but when we bring them on, they're bringing us the best of the best in terms of what they have to offer.
I say that to people all the time. I say, we have a hand-picked team, and I am telling you, if we did not have them, could we run? Sure. But I always say, that's not my department. I pass.
There's a representative over there.
There's a representative over there, and she's right. We are a company within ourselves now. And so, when it comes to coming up these young folk, you better know the business.
Mm-hmm.
B, you better have another skill.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes time for retirement, you can knock on the door of Social Security and sit back.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
If you don't work with that, if you never had a 9-to-5,
you better have
some sort.
You better have something
that will give you a backup.
That's right. You got to have that backup
for your retirement plan, Social Security.
That's right.
And some kind of money
young
to have.
People don't think they're going
to die.
Old.
No.
Something.
Stay tuned. Yeah.
And you know what? When I was young, it never occurred to me either.
Right.
So I'm not speaking from a place of not having been there.
Right.
But I think we are in a space in our lives where we're saying we having a good time doing what we're doing.
That's right.
We're very happy that we have good health because there's all kinds of things that can sideline your situation, the track that you're trying to take, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It sneaks up on you, though.
Yeah. Say it again, Tim.
Look in the mirror and say, huh?
I'm like, wow.
1 minute, one knee is hurting, and the next day, both of them is hurting. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, say it. That elbow. You'd be like, in the world?
Okay. That's awesome. I heard you mention the young people. Who are some of the young artists that are out there today that you ladies, you know, I guess like?
Young.
Oh my goodness.
Bruno Mars. That's it.
Bruno Mars. That's it. Only
that's
one.
It?
But you know what? In terms of, Niecy likes her.
I couldn't tell.
Oh, and there's this guy.
Yeah, I'm Bruno Mars, I'm a fan
London.
Of Bruno Mars.
Right.
Oh, that, October London?
Yes.
Yeah, I, October and London. I kind of, I like,
you sound like Marvin Gaye, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like
that's October a good artist,
London, but when it comes to mm-hmm. most, I am not, when it comes to listening to, you know, radio, mm-hmm. I'm not a, we listen, you know, I listen in the car, but I'm mm-hmm. not a radio listener. Mm-hmm. If it is, it's 88.3. Mm-hmm. I don't want to listen to anything but the oldies, mm-hmm. you know what
the
I'm
classics,
saying?
Yeah.
The classics. Mm-hmm. That's what I listen to, the classics. Yeah.
And I like Money Long, though. There are, believe it or not, there are some really great, mm-hmm. and because I've kind of switched over and started listening to Spotify, mm-hmm. and Soul Tracks has a station on there, and I've been getting a lot of new influences and new music from mm-hmm. younger mm-hmm. artists that I'm like, wait a minute, there are really some good R&B young artists yeah. mm-hmm. out there. Everybody's not, you know, booty popping, shaking and all that mm-hmm. stuff. You
there's
know what I mean?
Really yeah. know
some people have something to
some
say
substance
in a
to their
way. Yeah.
To their music.
So, I'm trying to seek that out just for my personal enjoyment.
Because it takes more digging as opposed to being in yes. the forefront nowadays.
Yeah. Yes. That's right.
Where how you, as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you recall, even back in the day, you know, there was always that music, you know. Every once in a while, some really good cuts would make the radio. But how often did we buy the album so we could get that record that wasn't played on the radio? So it's really the same kind of thing.
It is. Yeah. Well, except now, they're in terms of distribution, you can get the singles because they got the downloads.
Right.
You see, back then, you know what I'm saying?
You had to buy that album.
You got the album or you got that A single.
Right.
And prayed the one you liked was on the B side.
Right.
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 But if then you were just going to do that. Yeah. But now you can stream, you can choose, you know.
Exactly.
It's instantaneous. Yeah.
Yeah. You can pick and choose the things that exactly. you want. Right.
And if we think about how many songs did we hear back in the day that somebody said, hey, listen to this.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When you got that album, when you bought the album, you wind it up on that B side. There were a lot of
hidden gems
on that were better than what was on the A side.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. So you know, I guess it just means that, you know, we can't always go by like
mainstream. That's exactly
mm-hmm. played right exactly. at the top of the charts.
Yeah. Yep, there were different times then, right?
Yeah, different times.
So, speaking of the music, where can folks get your music?
Oh my goodness.
You got new stuff out there now?
Yeah. Well, you know what? What a bunch of interesting stuff we got going. it's very funny. So BMG Records bought the South Soul catalog.
Correct.
And
yes.
owns the South Soul catalog. And shout out to BMG because we've developed a really good relationship with them with the re-release of what they call their Disco Essentials series. Mm-hmm. So that was Joe Batan, First Choice,
Double Exposure, Instant Funk,
Soul Soul Orchestra, Instant Funk.
Yeah.
And I got my mind
beat up. Come on, you get it, girl.
Say what?
Anytime.
tonight is fine. Yes. So Skyline was released January of 2023. And
purple vinyl.
These are all collector's items. So purple vinyl, right? Remastered and all that good stuff. And I thought that was just a brilliant and smart thing for them to do because they said, we have these gems. Once again, a new, younger marketing team, Julian, starting to say, what do we got
here?
What do we own? Wait, what? What is this? I've never heard this before. Yeah. So they're re-releasing all of this stuff. Yeah. And so we've been kind of riding on that little bit of a wave in terms of popularity, because if you're relevant enough to get re-released for the record company to spend that money, you know, to reprint albums, that has to be, you know, have a level of importance and significance. We're going to be working on also some music with a French production team. The French are funk.
Oh,
yeah.
They are funketeers, man. I'm telling you.
Yes.
So we went into France last year in May. And when I tell you, it was sold out.
Pandemonium.
Yeah. The place was
France, UK, I heard.
They are just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, France, they bring two
bags
of albums.
Wow.
Every album that they've ever owned. From when did they buy Skyline? In 82?
Right.
They have it.
Mm-hmm. And they want us to autograph it. And of course, we
every
take
album.
The time to do it.
Uh-huh.
It's not a
That's
problem.
A beautiful thing.
But anyway, we're going to be working with another French musician by the name of Boutemme, I want to say it right, Philippe Magou.
Okay.
Magoo is writing for us. He was our musical director, actually, when we, as Ladies of Sky, performed in France.
The first time.
2012, first. I think it was. Mm-hmm. But the connection, see, this, mm-hmm. the thing that I love is no matter how long ago it was, these guys still stay in touch
and
with us.
And it's crazy, when we went that first time, they sent us a list of the songs that they wanted us to do.
Oh, right.
Some things that we had never even done. So that means, okay, now we got to do choreography.
Well, we recorded, mm-hmm. but we never performed them live.
That,
so
back to your point,
so the B-cuts.
Right.
Right. We had to relearn.
And we were like, what?
What were the lyrics to that song?
Right. And did we have choreography? No, because we never did it on stage. But it was funny because nobody in the band spoke English, and Magoo's English was really not that good.
Nobody spoke English.
No, Magoo was pretty good.
Magoo was playing everything
yes.
that they sent us.
That bass player started okay. Let's Celebrate like it was Gerald. We had to keep looking. No, that's not Gerald.
He's French, but it's not Gerald.
Yeah, right. That's right, because Gerald's Haitian. But yeah, they're amazing.
Different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, I really appreciate you coming, taking the time to come to the studio here today to join us on the R&B Showcase radio and television show. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming.
Appreciate you too.
Dolores, Bonnie, and Denise, the legendary Ladies of Sky. Let's give a nice round of applause to the ladies.
Thank you.
And of course,
so much fun.
Of course, you got the Sky Zoo over there, gentlemen.
All right, let's get
play that Sky Zoo. There you go.
My Sky Zoo.
Hey, yes, ladies, this is awesome. Awesome, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you being on the show. And of course, I want to thank you know, your manager over there, hiding back over there, Austin, man. Thanks for being.
I'm so happy for you guys.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much. And the gentleman with the New York, was that Yankees hat on there?
That's my husband.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mine's off somewhere.
All right. I was going to wear my Eagle stuff, but I said, nah, I'm going to hold off on that.
That's funny.
That's all good, though. But thank you for coming and joining us here live in the studio.
Thanks, Tim.
And I'm going to thank, of course, Ladies of Sky. Thank you again, Ladies of Sky.
Yes, thank you. It's our joy, Tim. Thank you so much. We are so happy to be here with you guys
here.
We come in back, okay?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
We want to come back.
Can we send a shout out to Dee Wellman, though? I met you ladies through the Gemma Foundation, Global Entertainment Media Foundation, of course, the Golden Mike Awards. I was in touch with her a while ago. She's doing good. She's getting ready to start some things back up. So that sounds good to me.
Because Nisi had to keep on reminding me where we met you.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she said that, I said, oh, yeah. Because that thing could have really.
The Gemma Awards.
Yeah, Gemma Awards. Yeah. Really, we did two of them. I think I did two. I hosted two of those shows.
Yeah,
ladies were on both of them, I think. Yeah. I believe
those shows. Yes, we were.
And we had the luncheon in Delaware.
We were ambassadors the second year. And I'm still an ambassador for her because that was an amazing organization. You know, we need more organizations that are going to honor the classic artists. You know what I mean?
No question, no doubt about it. You know. And also Vanessa from Jordan from the organization. Thank you, Vanessa.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And Stuart. Yeah. All right. But anyway, we're going to thank you for coming down, ladies.
Thank
and of course,
you.
I want to thank my co-host, Julian Seward.
Always a pleasure.
Julian.
This is
amazing.
Julian.
Thank you so much for coming. It's
Julian.
Pleasure.
And of course,
Julian got his little notes over there to look up. You know.
Ready to go. Julian's ready. He's on it. You know,
phone numbers.
Yes, you do. And a dime. We need more. You need a dollar a day, right? Make a phone call.
Very funny.
And of course, Kevin White.
Kevin.
Our co-host. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, brother.
Coming.
No question about it. My name is Tim Marshall, and thank you for joining us for R&B Showcase Live.